CliffCentral.com.
I didn't realize this was going to be such a sad song. I wouldn't have played it.
Who is it?
The Veronicas, and You Ruin Me.
All of them are either sad or just main Veronica.
It's sad, right? I think all three Veronicas are sad.
Sia had that look on his face when he listens to Adele when I.
Yeah. Seems like a sad song. All right. Well, well, well. Look at this. Monday morning on cliffcentral.com. South Africa's looking nice and bright and cheery this morning. The 8th of February, if for some reason you're watching the calendar. I mean, people have things to do, right? You might have a whole lot in the calendar for the 8th of February. It's only a few days till Valentine's Day, Mubs. It's happening this Sunday.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Have you got a date?
I haven't decided yet. Mm.
But you'll make that move.
Yeah, well, you go around grabbing guys' balls and shaking their hands. You want a date on the back of that.
Yeah, exactly. See how that works out for you.
Don't think people don't listen to you here, my buddy.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Well, there's a book out called Now Following You. And we're going to speak to Fiona Snickers, who's the author. And Fiona has written this. It's a novel. And I think there's probably a lot in it that is related to what's really going on in most people's relationships and lives, but there's probably a lot of it that is not too far from the truth, even if it is made up, because this is the reality of modern dating, of modern stalking, of people following you, people you don't know, who get really intimate in your personal life and start to figure out who your friends are, who your family are, where you've been for the weekend, what you do in your spare time, and it's all maybe a little bit too close for comfort. How are you, Fiona?
Good, thanks, Gareth.
Good. This is one hell of a book.
Thanks.
Yeah. I hope it does really, really well. But, I mean, you've been writing for a long time. You've been writing since you were 10 years old.
Yeah, unpublished, but, yeah, I've been writing since I was a child.
That's impressive. Yeah, it's very, very good. I'm trying to write. I can't even write a sentence anymore. I'm useless. But tell me, you also blog for the Mail and Guardian, right?
That's right, yeah.
And you do book reviews for the Sunday Times. You're busy, busy, busy. You're very prolific. Is it something that comes to you naturally, or is it like a deadline chore situation where you go, oh, my God, I've got to get this thing out by tomorrow at lunchtime?
Yeah, I think the other stuff like the blogging and the book reviewing and so on is deadline-driven, but the need to tell stories is something that's inside me. Since I was a kid, I've always just wanted to tell stories. I've always got stories going around in my head, and I have to let them out.
It's sort of like a composer who needs to write those songs.
I suppose it is, yeah.
Yeah. Now, this book is about stuff that I suppose a lot of us could relate to, which is why I think, you know, a lot of people would be interested in what's in it. It's essentially, I mean, it is a story, but there's stuff here that is, it must have required a bit of research.
Yeah, if you can call going on Facebook a lot research.
Did you find yourself on Facebook and suddenly going, oh, my God, that's a chapter, that's a chapter, that's something I could write, that could happen to the characters, this could happen to them, just based on what you were seeing in your friends' timelines?
Yes, I've been active on social media for the last 7 years or so, mm-hmm. and especially interesting has been the evolution of Twitter and the way in which it has encouraged people to drop all their boundaries personally, to put their whole lives out there. We've now got Instagram, Vine, and various other platforms, but Twitter was the one that really saw the boundaries come down and people start tweeting about what they were doing on a daily basis, what they were thinking, what they were feeling. If they'd just been shouting at their kids, they'd put it out there. If they just had a fight with their partner, they'd put it out there. They'd blog about it and then tweet a link to the blog.
And those incessant pictures of people's food.
Yeah, there's the food. I think Instagram was made for the food pictures,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Oh, it's the worst. If someone posts foodies, then I just unfollow them. I can't.
No, the actual worst is when they say, oh, we forgot to take a picture at the beginning of the meal, so here's the picture at the end of the meal, and you see this sort of detritus crumbs, and crumbs and revoltingness and a sort of half-licked fork, and that is the absolute worst.
You have people who do that?
I do. I've seen it on my timeline.
We must see how we must find out if anybody here does that and immediately bring them to justice. So the inspiration for all of this, I suppose it's just it's your reality. It's everybody's reality at the moment, right?
Yeah, it's the new normal. It's perfectly acceptable to live your life out loud. And for most of us, most of the time, there aren't any consequences. But if you put a foot wrong or you share too much or somebody takes an interest in what you're doing, then the consequences do start to pile up, and that's what I was interested in. What happens when there are consequences? That's what I was writing about.
So tell me about the characters in the book and kind of what happens.
Okay, well, the main character goes on. The main character is called Jamie Birchall, and she's an unpublished writer, and she's putting her novel out there in serialized form on her blog, hoping that a publisher is going to spot it and be completely blown away and offer to publish it. I mean, it's happened before. It happened with The Martian, which is now a Hollywood movie. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen.
Sure.
And she's also, because she's always lived her life online, ever since she was a little kid with a Moshi Monsters account or a Club Penguin account, this is natural for her to put every movement, every thought, every outfit change, every meal, to put it all out there on social media. And she's building her profile and hoping to attract some kind of good attention in the form of a book deal. And as it happens, she attracts some negative attention in the form of a stalker.
All right. Now who's the hot running guy?
Hot running guy is her neighbor. He's lives next door. He's half American, half South African, and they start up a relationship.
Right, and she kind of lets him into her life.
Yeah.
He's not a bad guy, though, is he?
Well, that's kind of a spoiler, but no, he's a goodie.
And what I like about the book, too, is that you kind of take tweets that you've made up between her and the other people in her life, and you've put them into the book as a separate kind of, it's almost, you read through the tweets as if they're happening in the course of the story.
Yeah.
Which is exciting, because again, it shows you what's going on in people's lives as they tweet. They're busy, you know, getting to know each other. She's talking about what she's doing. She's asking her friends for their opinions and certain things, and you have all kinds of stuff going on in there, stuff that I suppose happens to all of us, where someone says, oh, you know, there's this animal that's been abused or whatever, and what do we do about this? And then all her friends start suggesting what she should do.
Yeah, I was interested in the way that discussions can skid completely out of control on social media. Someone posts some innocuous comment, and the next thing someone else has taken offense, and then someone's taken offense at the taking of offense, and then they're having a full-on fight on your timeline. And it happens surprisingly often, and it can be amusing, or it can be extremely irritating and have you reaching for the blood pressure medication.
Yeah, do you think that social media is dangerous in that respect? Because it does need moderation, or it at least needs someone who can keep an eye on things not spinning out of control.
I think it needs people not to be complete children, frankly.
But we can't help it. Some of us are just morons, right?
Some people are complete morons, yeah. I think people just need to be grown-ups about it. And because there is no mommy who's watching, who's going to moderate and police this, we have to police ourselves. We have to rein ourselves in and not be completely moronic about it.
Well,
and
for the longest time, I thought that social media was a peer review system where, you know, if someone was out of line, they said something that was horribly unacceptable in a social context or any other, that the rest of the people on Twitter or Facebook or wherever would call them to order and say, you know what, don't say that kind of thing, and we'd move on. But it seems almost like it's turned into this mob. And that mob is a law unto itself. They hold kangaroo courts and string people up. And then once they've had their fill of blood, then they just move on to the next victim. And whoever it was that was so outrageous and egregious in the beginning seems to be forgotten about and just left there. I mean, I don't know if anybody's bothered to go anywhere near the South Coast to go and visit Penny Sparrow anytime soon. But I wouldn't be surprised if she's as quiet as a mouse now.
Yeah, I don't think it's a peer review system so much as a shark tank with someone chumming the waters. It's completely out of control. And maybe all the outrage has some point, maybe it's sort of guiding society towards more proper thinking. Maybe it's not a bad thing to silence and shame the penny sparrows. But yeah, it's definitely cyclical. These things come in little peaks and waves and then dissipate completely and get forgotten.
And your book is more about the danger of individuals rather than the danger of a mob.
Yes, yes. I hint at the mob behavior in some of my fake tweets and Facebook posts. But yeah, it's about being that one person who attracts the attention of somebody who is really quite evil and delusional and sees you as something that you're not, becomes obsessed with you and starts following you.
You know, it used to be that stalkers and that sociopaths, they used to have to go to a lot of trouble to inveigle their way into people's lives. And it wasn't always easy. You'd have to arrange a date with some girl if you were a crazy psychopathic guy. You'd have to arrange a date with this girl. You'd have to win her over. And then slowly you could start to be the real you, I suppose, in her presence. And then eventually, hopefully, she would realize this and get the hell away from you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, get a court interdict or whatever was required. But in the real world, now, there's such a blurring of lines. And it's so much easier to actually get to someone, thanks to social media. You could look up a guy or a girl, and you could get into their life, and you could find out things about them that before you would need to be the CIA to know.
Yeah, that's true. And if you were following someone, they would see your face. They would know who it is who's following them around. Mm. And as you say, could get an interdict against them.
Yeah.
But on social media, it's zero risk at the moment. You can follow someone completely anonymously.
You can make a fake account, right? And there are a lot of people on Twitter and Facebook who I suppose aren't real people at all. Yeah. They're someone pretending to be someone else.
Yeah.
And they build, a lot of them go to a huge amount of trouble to build these fake profiles up so that they can remain anonymous.
Yeah, the stalker in my book creates a fake anonymous profile and uses it to follow Jamie. So there's no risk, there's no blowback to himself. He can do this extremely intrusive behavior without any consequences to himself. It's completely effortless.
Tell me, when you wrote this, you had to do some research. I mean, you said glibly that you just kind of went on Facebook a few times. But when it comes to the stories of women who have had a guy stalk them like this online, or guys who've had people stalk them online, I suppose, there must be some real horror stories out there, and probably we don't know a lot of them.
Yeah, to be honest, I put it out there on Facebook and on Twitter that I was interested in stalker stories, people who had incidents on social media that made them feel violated or uncomfortable. And I thought, well, I'll probably have to do this several times over several months to garner enough stories to have something to work with. Within minutes, the stories started coming in, always from women who had these incidents that had still to this day made them feel icky and violated. In a lot of cases, it was people from their past who they thought would stay in the past, who then found them by searching for them on social media and had then popped up out of the woodwork to behave in various inappropriate ways.
Yeah, I'm sort of jealous of people in the 1800s who were able to actually get away from each other completely. You know, you could get on a ship and you could go to another continent and you would never see the people that you left behind ever again. And I think for a lot of women who've been in awful relationships, you used to be able to say goodbye to a guy, and he would remain in the past. He'd have to go to some trouble to track you down.
Yeah.
And if he did manage to track you down, you'd immediately know, and you could report him, or you could have some kind of defense against him. Now, all they have to do is do a Google search.
Yeah, I had women who had unfortunate relationships when they were at university in America, and had then come back to South Africa thinking they were leaving that guy in the past forever, only to have him pop up on their timeline in 2008 or something.
Not nice.
No, not nice.
Is it? You said it was always women, and that. What is it with men that they're so predatory? What is this behavior?
I can't answer that. Isn't it bizarre?
No, I'm not asking you to be a psychologist for all men, but there's something very strange about this desire in some guys, not all, obviously, in some guys to have the woman who clearly doesn't want you, to force her to want you. It's the weirdest thing. Like, if I were around a woman who didn't want to be with me, I wouldn't even try. It would put me off. I'd be dejected about the whole thing. But I certainly wouldn't force myself into her life. Dude, what do you think that is? Is it a kind of a chemical imbalance? Do you think it's a...
I think it's a strange sense of entitlement. Some men have been brought up to believe that women owe them something.
Yeah.
And that if they extend some kind of attention to women, then it has to be reciprocal. That woman owes them attention in return.
If I like you, you've got to have sex with me.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
You owe me something. And if you don't come to the party and give me what I want, well, I'm just going to keep pushing harder until you realize this contract exists between us, that you actually owe me something.
Unbelievable. Do you think in South Africa it's worse than anywhere else? Or do you think we're about the same?
I would hesitate to say that. I think it's a system that exists all over the world. I think in South Africa we messed up in various different ways because of our past. But no, I think this kind of patriarchal contract that is believed to exist between men and women, it's worldwide, it's pervasive.
Do you think that women in South Africa are particularly vulnerable to this stuff? Because maybe, you know, that there isn't as much of a confidence imbued in young women when they're growing up. I mean, I don't expect you to answer this as a psychologist, but you must have thought of these things when you were writing the book. That here's this girl who she desperately wants to be published. She's got this writer in her. She's doing this blog. But it's also almost, it's this neediness, you know, which I suppose for a lot of men signals, oh, this is a girl that I should be involved with.
Yeah,
does that make any sense?
I think that
a
lot of women in South Africa are extremely vulnerable. And those women aren't on social media. I think they just are poor, living lives of quiet desperation, dependent on men for the food that they eat. It's a particular kind of vulnerability that doesn't necessarily affect the middle classes, who are the people who are on social media. And I think it affects the poor in any society all over the world. In terms of social media and the middle classes in South Africa, no, I don't think there's anything particular to South African women that makes them needy or vulnerable or whatever it is that sparks a predator's attention.
What do you think it is? What's that moment where Jamie realizes in the book that this is now a problem? And where I suppose for a lot of people in real life, if you have someone who's potentially a stalker but you don't realize they are yet, at what point do you go, oh, hell, this is a problem?
Yeah, I think the more time you spend on social media, the less aware you're going to be of those clues. Because, again, as a woman, if you put yourself out there, put a photograph of yourself out there, say what you're doing or what you're feeling, you're going to attract negative attention. There are going to be men who call you fat or gross or old or disgusting or various other things. And you kind of have to develop a thick skin. You realize it's par for the course. If you don't like it, you're going to have to get off social media altogether. If you're a woman who expresses an opinion in a public forum, you've also got to be used to being shamed for various imaginary crimes. And it has to be pretty persistent and ongoing before you realize that a single person has actually singled you out and is going to be carrying on with this. In the book, Jamie actually misses several clues that this guy has taken an unhealthy interest in her because she's just so used to men abusing her online. And it actually takes quite a while before it penetrates that this is
a problem.
This is a problem. There's something else going on here.
Do you know anybody, or have you had any experience in your own life of social media getting out of control?
Getting out of control, yes. I think I used to share much more on social media than I do now. And I had some unpleasant experiences, and now I'm much more guarded with my private life.
What sort of unpleasant experiences? Were people being nasty? What happened?
I think that I used to sort of have a bit of a sense of humor on social media. I used to crack jokes and say absurd things that I knew the right audience would take the right way. They wouldn't misinterpret it. But then the wrong audience would see it and would accuse me of not loving my kids because I'd been venting about them or being a bad mom or having terrible eating habits because I joked about all the sour jelly tots I like to eat or something like that, you know, where someone would take it seriously and be incredibly vindictive in quoting you and saying, how can you be this kind of human being? And my response was to pull back and protect myself. And in the book, Jamie's response is to say, to hell with that. I'm going to carry right on doing exactly what I'm doing. Nobody's going to shame me into keeping quiet. But my response was to pull back and guard my privacy more.
And which do you think is the right response?
I think the courageous response.
You've imagined it from both sides.
Yeah, the courageous response is Jamie's response. And it's easier to do when you're a young single woman. Mm-hmm. But when you've got a family and people who are affected by the things you do and say on social media, you do have to be a bit more careful.
Do you think that there's a lot of fun that's gone out of social media?
Yes. I think it used to be a more playful space than it is now.
Yeah, it's become very serious sometimes. And not intellectually rigorous serious. Serious as in everybody has an axe to grind.
There's less room for irony, flippancy, throwaway remarks. There's less room to be absurd or to be hyperbolic or to say something that's not 100% serious. You have to be prepared to stand behind every single thing you tweet in a court of law. You have to be prepared for it.
I know.
Yeah, you do know.
Don't I know. But that's the truth. And I do think that that's kind of a sad situation for us to end up in because I'm a fan of social media. I like the fact that everybody's allowed to have opinions. We're all allowed to share our opinions. We're allowed to argue with each other, to laugh at each other, to play with each other. But we seem to be suddenly making this a very angry, sad, serious place.
I'm hoping it's a pendulum and that it's going to swing in the other direction soon. I'm hoping this is as low as it gets in terms of extreme seriousness on social media. I hope that in a year or two we're going to be able to be playful again.
Well, I hope so too. But your book certainly is fantastic. And if people want to get it, it's available at all good bookstores now. I wish you luck with it.
Thank you. The book is
called Now Following You. It's Fiona Snickers. And you can get it immediately if you feel like a good read over the next few days. And certainly something to make you a little more cautious around Valentine's Day. Right? But you're not setting yourself up as one of these social media experts who goes around warning people about the dangers of the internet. You're just a writer.
No, not at all. I'm just a writer.
Just a writer. There's nothing wrong with being just a writer. It's a talent I think a lot of people wish they had. Well, thank you.
Thanks
very, very much, Fiona. And all the best with the book.
Thank you.
Fantastic. There we go. When we come back in a moment or two, we got a few things to wrap it up with. I'll tell you what else is on cliffcentral.com for the course of the morning. And you can join us. If you want to call, 0861-555-189. That's 0861-555-189. Cliffcentral.com.